Welcome to Build Your Dream Network. I'm Kelly Hoey. I see people struggling to connect effectively all the time, so I created this podcast to help you master your network building needs. Whether you're seeking a new job, looking for a promotion, or scaling your business, you need a network, and you're in the right place to get the advice you need. And don't worry, my advice is real. It's actionable and practical because it's the advice I follow and is what has transformed my career from the traditional to the unexpected. So let's get started. So today on the podcast, as we continue our conversation around job searches, career transitions, the challenges of, I want to say, experienced workers entering and re-entering the workforce, working longer, I have my friend Marcy Weisler here in the podcast studio. She is the Chief Commercial Officer at Vengo Labs. It's a marketing and retail tech company. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Kelly. It's so great to see you. Thanks for having me.
So you've been in this role for a year now. You're a digital executive. You have been active in the startup community. You've sought your own ventures. But pursuing a J-O-B, another job, was something you started actively doing. Can you enlighten our listeners on that thought process of why now, why get a job?
Sure. So I've spent my careers in startups and bringing innovation and digital practices to brands, both in-house and as a consultant and advisor throughout my career. And I had spent time both in startups, in bigger media companies, around the digital group at Time Out. When I left there a bunch of years ago, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do and had a couple business partners who had said, if you ever leave, you know, let me know. And that started me down the route of consulting. And I ended up over the 10 years prior to joining Vengo, about a year ago, I had been in-house, did a little consulting, then would get sucked in by a client and become part of the team. So I had been on the part of the trajectory where I'd been doing consulting for about 5 years, in addition to starting my own company with a couple of partners, supporting women entrepreneurs. And I was hitting a point where while the consulting can be great, it's diverse, I'm solving different problems every day, bringing expertise and learning from different people in different sectors. With consulting, you often work with the team, help them to get to a certain point, and then have to walk away and don't get to see the fruits of your labor. You know, you get credit for some of it, but not for seeing it through. And I was starting to miss that. And no matter how integrated you are with a client, and I've had clients on the consulting side that I've worked with for, you know, starting 3-month projects ends up being 2 years. People have called me back. I've done repeats after a couple years break. But you're never, when they have the offsite, you're not part of the process. When they're having the party, they're like, oh, we should invite you. But often budgets don't allow them. And I was just kind of missing. I wanted to see it through. I was ready to be part of a team again. And so about 5 years into the consulting, I knew my one big client who I had worked with through some investment that they got. They acquired a company in that process. I was working on the strategy, the integration, the digitization. That was scheduled to wind down, and I knew that was a hard and fast date. And it's just like, you know what? It's time. I'm ready to go back in again and be part of a team. The other thing that is very different on the consulting side from the in-house side is when you're consulting, no matter how full your plate is, you're always chasing new business because you don't know when it's going to end. And not that there's so much job security these days in being in-house, but there's a little more and you feel like you're part of a team and you're not always looking for what's next. Or at least you hope if your job is good and engaging and you like what you're doing and you're growing something, you're not going to be looking.
So as a more experienced worker, mm-hmm. talk about the job search and how it was you were able to parlay 10 years consulting on the outside
yep.
and how to make that attractive to employer who may be looking at you going, well, this is great, but you've been on the outside and, you know, who else knows what's going through their mind?
Right.
Let's be honest, ageism and sexism exist. So,
yep. And that was definitely something that was part of my thought process. And I figured it was going to take a bit. And I had over a 10-year period, I had probably spent about 50 to 60% of that consulting and 50, the other 40 to 50% in-house. It just had gone in waves. But I think one of the bigger challenges is companies, when they're looking to fill a position, they're often looking for a very specific career path or set of skills, which you get from a more linear progression sometimes. For myself, not just in recent history, but I feel throughout my career, I've had common threads, but I've definitely zigged and zagged, and the path is not straight. There's been serendipity and opportunity. I haven't just taken, you know, you have someone who goes from a marketing coordinator to a marketing manager to a VP to a CMO. So it really took some thought about what do I do? What do I do well, both in terms of what are the businesses I've built? What are the skills that I bring to the table? And throughout, both in-house and out, I go in, I look at things from a different angle. I solve problems, I lead teams, and I'm able to bring a lot of digital expertise. So I needed to package that and position it and worked really hard to do that. Got some outside help from coach and, you know, feedback from people I know. How can I package and position this? And then also started talking to a number of people about different opportunities. And I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I knew it had to have innovation. I started to set criteria. I knew I wanted, you know, a certain size of team. I wanted to be solving a problem. And it took conversations with things from smaller startups to mid-sized companies to companies up to, you know, Amazon, where people were reaching out to me and saying, hey, I have this role. And all the roles were really different. I don't think that's the case for everyone, but because I'm more of a GM, strategy and execution, biz dev marketing, business builder. So that was part of my journey and trying to figure it out. And with each conversation, there was a question of, one, do they want to talk to me further? Two, do I want to talk to them further? And what actually is the day-to-day? What were the parts of, say, consulting that I wanted to bring to the table or my life as a consultant? You know, I had a lot of flexibility. That was one of the things really worried about giving up. And so finding a role where I wasn't necessarily, quote unquote, chained to a desk was really important.
I mean, that's one of those things when, you know, when, say, sort of sitting here and thinking, God, yeah, that's the one thing people like want your life. I'm like, yeah, the flexibility is great. The stress level can be out of control. Let me go back a little bit. So you hired a coach and talk about that and like investing in your professional development and why you did that and what was sort of some of that process and how long you worked with the coach.
Sure. So I had worked with a coach on and off prior. Just through the years, I've found it's great to get outside perspective and unbiased perspective. And you know me, I'm a networker. I have a great group of professional friends and supporters and people who will give input and feedback. But to have someone who could frame things in a way and help me position myself and talk to me some of the things I just mentioned, you know, she really helped to surface questions like, what are the three qualities you want in a company that you're looking at? You know, what do you want your role to be like? So I could, especially since I was doing this super broad, kind of, I don't know where this next thing is going to be. It was really helpful to frame it and talk through my priorities, trade-offs, what was important. You know, I clearly have a lot of startup experience, but I wanted to go a little bigger. Does that make
sense? Yep.
What are the trade-offs between financial compensation and equity and flexibility, and how do you do that? And so it really helped me to have a unbiased person who I could trust to do that. The other person, and I'm a big believer in getting outside people to help, and I do a lot of that for other people because you get caught in your own head and you think that you can only do certain things. I have a great story that really had an impact on me when I was talking to Time Out about joining them. They had never had someone to run digital. They had been my business partner, and the woman who was running it at the time was trying to get me to come in. And it was a long and ongoing conversation. And this is back before Me Too and before there was so much public information about gender difference and how genders approach problems differently. Anyway, we were talking through the different areas the job would be focused on. And I said, well, you know, I've got experience in these three things, but these other three things I've never done before.
I would say the classic, there's 10 job requirements and women meet three and not the other seven, so they don't apply.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and she said, yeah, but you're smart and you'll figure that out. And I gotta say, having someone say that to me really stuck with me. And then I started seeing all that research a year or two or three later that there is real research that men will go for a job where they have 3 out of 10. Women need to have 7 or 8 or 9 of the 10 to even consider it. And, you know, I think it's really helpful to think about, listen, I'm a problem solver. And that's, since I've been consulting, that's really the approach I've been taking. If I don't know how to do something, I'm going to figure it out. These are the things I'm really good at. And these are the things I've done. And so I can apply them.
Yes. So there's two things I want to pick up from your answer. So you also said, when you talked about having the coach, you also said you were talking to people. And I know you've got like some really great close cohort of women who I've been fortunate enough to meet. Who did you turn to and who were sort of like your first line of give me feedback that you went to?
I went to a kind of broad group of, you know, I probably have 6 or 8 people who I've had different relationships with in my professional life. You know, I have partners that I started my women's entrepreneur business with, and they had both gone in-house, and they knew me well in terms of both personality and work style, so it was great to get input from them. I've got another colleague who we pull each other into consulting projects. We have very complementary offerings, and so I would go to her and someone else like her. So it was primarily, you know, primarily women I've worked with in some capacity or another who know enough about me, both professionally and personally, to give me some feedback and help me to frame it and to talk through, hey, I had this conversation with this company. What do you think? And I mean, one of these people has been going back and forth with me this week because she's talking to someone about something like, well, you know, have you asked these 5 questions? To me, it doesn't look like it makes sense from this angle. Why do you want to do it?
Yeah.
And, you know, and she'll say, oh, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
So the other thing, Kelly, that I did that might be helpful to people, I had someone who was great, who has a business that does LinkedIn profile doctoring, and, you know.
Enhancement. Zhuzhing. Yeah.
Those are good words. And I think she's great. There are other people who do that. And again, it's someone who can look at you objectively without prior perspective, get a sense of what you're interested in. And in that case, it's helping you to tell your story in a different way that will also get picked up if you're inclined to have search and digitally AI be picked up. You want to have certain things in there in addition to telling the story a great way.
And knowing the algorithms and how important that is. One thing that's really striking me, and which I really love, because one of the things that I often say to people, if you can't describe like the precise job, then at least be able to describe and tell the story of where you want to work every day, because that might, you know, unlock some opportunities. But what I want to ask you about was like, how were some of the ways that you described your skills? Because I think that's one of the things that, you know, people have had a lot of experience, like there's skills that employers are seeking and how can you be found for those? So how are some of the ways working with your coach and others, you sort of recognized your superpowers, your skills, but how did you start showing those, displaying those so that employers, people seeking you, or you were getting referrals for the kind of jobs you wanted?
So I did that a few different ways, or thought about it a few different ways. One was, you know, from a technical standpoint, I've been in digital most of my career and longer than a lot of people. So really playing up that I've had a career in leadership positions in digital companies or growing digital divisions or solving digital problems for clients. So that was really important, and that I am a business leader with technical know-how. So that was really important. Being able to articulate that I've had experience leading teams and leading projects was also important, because one of my criteria was I needed to be part of a leadership team. And that was really important to me. I also, I had said it earlier, problem solving and framing. You know, businesses face problems every day, whether that's a big problem of, oh no, my business is being disintermediated, to my team's going from 3 people to 10 people. How do I handle that?
Mm-hmm.
So talking about some of the different areas of problem solving and using problem solving to generate growth. And I think the other thing that's really important is just the ability to give examples and show real results,
yeah,
whether those are quantifiable or qualitative. And in certain cases, you're going to find people really need quantitative,
yeah,
answers. So I think on the flip side of that, understanding what the hiring party is looking for and what are true requirements versus what are flexible, because there were some conversations I had where someone would say, I need someone who's run a P&L of this size. And you double check and say, do you really need that? If you're really interested. But if they say really yes, those are the things you can't make up or talk your way around.
Right.
So.
And did you put those examples, like those concrete examples, did you put them in the cover letter? Did you put them in like projects on your LinkedIn profile or in both places? And obviously had them ready to roll out if you, got an interview. But where were some of the places sort of, I'm going to say in print, so to speak, where you shared that information?
Well, I will say I'd lead with LinkedIn, but people still want resumes, or at least in my experience. So I definitely, especially as a leader and a senior person,
yeah,
my resume has a little summary that, yep, describes me, and then 5 or 6 bullet points of accomplishments
at
the top.
Yep.
And that's how I address that.
That's great. Thank you for that, because it's like thinking about people. I often have that question of, all right, how do you start this resume? How do you do this? Need to ask you, you do have your MBA. Did you tap into any alumni networks or any of those kind of professional or industry networks when you were thinking about this transition back into a full-time job?
I tapped into my networks, and definitely, you know, I have a broad network. My career started and still has a big component of business development, and a lot of those relationships are people I, quote unquote, grew up with in business and still know. So definitely getting the word out that I was looking and these were the types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And the role I'm in today is through networking. Most of the roles I've had in my past and most of the conversations I've had. When you're looking this senior, the job boards aren't so helpful. And there are a few people from my business school network that are part of that networking for me. I did not tap into it too much, but I don't want anyone to discount that, because I also think it depends what field you're looking in. And because of the digital network that I'm in, and a lot of the people I know from my grad school program are not necessarily, because it was a while ago, we're not necessarily in the same arena. I didn't tap it as much. Although as a hirer, I've used a lot of those networks to find great people.
I was saying, so knowing you, knowing your network, I can see, you know, tapping into an organized network may not have been the thing. So some of the takeaways for me from our conversation, and thank you, is get outside perspective on your job. Think about hiring a coach so you can get out of your own head and position yourself for that job search. You know, talk to your network. Share with them the skill set, your superpower, but also where you think about exhibiting those things. And I'm sure a healthy dose of this is, you know, planning and persistence, knowing that there could be some serendipity with a conversation with a neighbor that might unlock that job, or it equally, you know, may come through a recruiter on LinkedIn who's found your new polished up resume.
The one other thing I'll just add,
yeah,
is open-mindedness.
Great.
Because you never know where it's going to come from, as you just said. And the other is, there are jobs and companies you've never heard of or never thought would be right that now have roles that may not fit what their core business is. But as companies expand, depending what your skill sets are, it's not so predefined anymore. So I think open-mindedness is really important.
For all of us. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast
thank
and
you
sharing
for,
your search.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Build Your Dream Network. Stay connected and don't miss a networking insight by subscribing to the podcast. And while you're there, I'd love you to rate and review the show too. Are you looking for more networking advice? Pick up a copy of my book, Build Your Dream Network. It's your guide to modern networking. I'd like to hear your networking questions, tips, and ideas. Connect with me via my website, jkellyhoey.co. You'll find links to all my social media accounts, plus a contact form to email me your questions. I'm Kelly Hoey, and I'll be back again next week to tackle your networking challenges.